In an animated logo, the sun sets behind a shadow black mountain. City lights sparkle across Los Angeles. On a hilltop, spotlights crisscross their skyward beams around a towering block of gold letters. Fox Searchlight Pictures, a News Corporation company. The glaring lights fade to black. White titles appear. Fox Searchlight Pictures presents a Red Wave Films production. Now, six simple figures shaped like cutout paper dolls appear, one by one in a row. The Full Monty. A scratchy color film starts.
Welcome to Sheffield, the beating heart of Britain's industrial north. The jewel in Yorkshire's crown is home to over 500,000 people, and thousands more flock here daily to shop and to work. All this is built on Sheffield's primary industry, steel. The city's rolling mills, forges, and workshops employ some 90,000 men and state-of-the-art machinery to make the world's finest steel. From high tensile girders to the stainless cutlery that ends up on your dining table. But it's not all hard work for the people of Steel City. They can spend the day lounging by the pool, watching one of our top soccer teams, or browsing in the shops.
Shoppers wander through a sprawling department store.
But when the sun goes down, the fun really starts in the city's numerous nightclubs and discotheques. Yes, Yorkshire folk know how to have a good time. And it's good times for the city's housing, too. Sheffield leads the way in town planning. Victorian slums have been cleared to make way for the homes of the future.
Children play in a vacant lot.
Thanks to steel, Sheffield really is a city on the move.
Opening titles continue. Written by Simon Beaufoy. Produced by Uberto Pasolini. Directed by Peter Cataneo. The scratchy film fades to black, then a subtitle reads, 25 years later. In an abandoned factory, a stocky man shoulders a rusty steel beam.
Yes. Who's gonna buy a rusty girder?
Come on.
Dad, stealing.
No, it's liberating, love. Liberating.
Gaz, hang on.
Gaz walks with his arm around his son.
10 years we worked in here. Now look.
But what if we get caught?
You don't get a criminal record till you're 16. Just don't tell your mum.
Hey, listen. Music.
Yeah.
Outside, a marching band turns a corner.
Bloody hell!
Gaz and his son duck behind a brick post. Their stocky friend drops the girder and joins them.
What are they doing?
It's a factory band. It's still going here.
About the only thing around here that is.
A red-haired trumpet player comes to the door.
Hey, up, security guard's back.
They hide behind the post as the trumpet player closes the door and locks it. Gaz rubs his clenched jaw and his friend smirks.
Won't take a minute, he says. Won't take a minute.
Later, they stand on the roof of a car, half sunk in a river.
Can't we do normal things sometimes?
What's up with you? This is normal, isn't it, Dave?
Oh, aye, everyday stuff, this. You know, I think this bugger's sinking.
The boy crosses a beam to shore.
Now pick it up and try and slide it across the other side.
He accidentally drops the beam.
Oh, fucking hell, mate! That's 20 quid each, then. That was your bloody maintenance for that.
Nathan walks off.
Ah, oh, nice one.
Nate!
Gaz steps on the hood, and it tilts.
Fucking hell!
Dave pulls him back onto the roof.
Jesus. Stay still. Stay still, stay still. All right.
What's your initiative got to say about this, then, bog eyes?
Gaz sees a man walking a dog.
Hey, up. Someone coming.
The man glances at them.
All right.
Ah, not so bad.
He passes by.
Not so bad? Not so bad? That's not much of a chuffing SOS, is it?
All right, don't get Benny on.
The river flows gently around the submerged car. Later, on land, Dave walks stiffly beside Gaz and Nathan.
Your jeans are bloody soaking.
You're taking your kit off, shouldn't you? What's up, you shine?
Don't. Just shut it, all right?
Dave dumps a waterlogged snack bag. Gaz smiles at a blonde woman.
What do you reckon, Dave?
8. Maybe even a 9.
You can never tell till you see the tits, can you?
Tat!
What's all this, then?
Just them Chippendale efforts.
Women stand in line outside a club.
Mum, we're going on about it.
Are you joking? She must be getting desperate.
How are you?
Y'all waiting for me, then?
Yeah, to go home.
Well, you know where to find me when you're tired of looking at them pups.
Dad,
come on, Gaz, I'm freezing.
Gaz sees a poster.
Women only. Cheeky buggers. Is this a bloody working men's club?
It's a photo of muscular male dancers.
I don't know what you got to smile about. I mean, he's got no willy for starters, has he? There's nothing the gym will help you there, mate. No decent woman to be seen dead in there.
Jean would.
Oh, Dave, what's going on?
Dave shrugs.
It's her money, isn't it?
Fucking hell, are you going to just stand there while some puff's waving his tackle at your missus? Where's your pride, man? She's already got you over him. I saw it and I let it go. But this? No, no, no. You want to get her out of there and tell her what for?
You can't. It's women only.
Gaz and Nathan climb in through a bathroom window.
Just hurry up, will you? My feet have gone numb.
Well, that's gratitude for you. We're riding into Alley of Death for you, you fat git.
It's not my fault I can't fit through, is it?
Gaz turns to his son.
Right then. I'll be waiting here, keeping guard. You find Auntie Jean and tell her Uncle Dave wants a word outside, all right?
Do I have to?
Good kid, on you go.
Gaz opens the door into the club. Across the room, cheering women pack cocktail tables in front of a stage. 12-year-old Nathan blinks his wide eyes, and Gaz nudges him into the club. Stopping at an empty table, Nathan drinks the rest of someone's beer. From the doorway, Gaz, lean and sharp-featured, studies the lively crowd. A woman with short blonde hair hurries into the men's room, followed by two friends. Gaz hides in a stall.
Oh, I'm not waiting in that bloody queue. What I always wanted is nosy in the men's toilets.
Whoa, them bloody muscles.
No, no, it's not their bodies, B. It's what they do with them that counts.
We don't know what you're worrying about. You know who on your tail.
The blonde glares.
Hey, hey, Frank don't fancy me and I don't fancy Frank, right? So bloody well give over.
She softens and smirks.
Hey, do you think he might, though?
Gaz spies on them.
No, couldn't do that to Dave. Not even if I wanted to. But, you know, it's like he's giving up. Work, me, everything. Here, love, this'll cheer you up.
B steps over to a urinal, pulls down her pantyhose, and pees.
We're taking Girl Scouts for nothing.
As Gaz watches, B hikes up her pantyhose, then follows Dave's wife and their friend back into the club. Gaz comes out of the stall with a heavy, slack-jawed gaze. His black leather jacket hangs hip-length over a blue Henley shirt. Dave's hands grip the window ledge from outside.
Gaz, that went out of Jean, wasn't it?
No, no, just a couple of old tarts. We're back in for Nath.
Gaz strides into the club and finds Nathan guzzling a pint.
You're in big trouble.
What about Auntie Jean?
Gaz spots the blonde Jean standing in the crowd.
Auntie Jean's busy.
She cheers and pumps her arms. Morning. Under a dull, overcast sky, Gaz strolls with Nathan.
I don't feel well.
Of course you don't. You got an hangover. Take a day off. Hang about at home.
Your house is messy. It's cold and all.
All right, then come down to your club. That'd be a right laugh.
Mum's house is always warm.
I can't always have the red carpet out for you, can I? Anyway, it's not your mum's house. It's... what's his name? Barry's. Tell you what, next week you're another big tidy round. I promise, even go and see a footy game.
Yeah?
Yeah. Sunday league going down the park. There's been some right good players.
United play Man U, aren't they?
Oh, Nath, you know I can't stress to that.
You're always making me do stupid stuff like last night. Other dads don't do that.
Don't they?
Aye.
Nathan enters a schoolyard. Gaz walks along the fence.
Hey, Nath! We could try and sneak into Man U. Terry would tell us about this gap in fence.
No!
All right, I'll get tickets. I will. Ooh, ah, Cantona, has to wear a girly bra.
Kids and teachers stare.
Stuff them, Nate.
Gaz knits his brow. Later, at the job centre.
want your application letters finished by the time I get back, right? Any problems, I'm outside.
The administrator leaves. Gaz, Dave, and two other men smoke and play cards.
I tell you, when women start pissing like us...
A man with graying hair works at a computer.
We're finished, Dave. Extincto.
Yeah, I mean... How? You know... How?
Genetic mutations, isn't it? They're turning into us.
Few years and men won't exist. Except in the zoo or something. I mean, we're not needed no more, are we? Obsolete. Dinosaurs. Yesterday's news.
Like skateboards.
The older man.
Button it, you lot. Some of us are trying to get a job. Hey, and it says no smoking in here.
Oh, and it says job club up there. Remember the last time you saw one of them fucking walking? You forget, Gerald, you're not our foreman anymore. You're just like the rest of us. Scrap.
Shut it, right?
Gerald goes back to his computer.
Hang on, though. Why were all them women in Working Men's Club in first place, eh? Now then. Because of us, men.
But you call them Chippendales men? Degrading, that's what it were.
How many lasses were there, though?
Thousands. Baying for blood. 10 quid and all to watch some fucking puff get his kit off. 10 quid.
Right. Times 10 quid by 1,000, right? And you've got... Yeah, well, a lot. A very lot. Yeah.
10,000 quid.
Gaz blinks.
How much?
10,000 quid.
Eh, now, Dave, I mean, it's worth a thought, though, isn't it?
Gerald grins.
Oh, aye. And just see Little and Large prancing around Sheffield with the Widgers hanging out. Now, that would be worth 10 quid.
Don't be so bloody daft.
We were just saying,
Widgers,
you know...
on parade. Bring your own microscope.
I don't see why the chuff not, Gerald.
Because you're fat and he's thin and you're both fucking ugly.
Bastard.
Gaz climbs over the table and lunges at Gerald. Dave breaks them up. Later, Gaz knocks on a door, then paces, holding an open envelope. A young woman answers.
What's all this about sole custody?
You know what it is, Gary? If you want joint custody, then you have to pay your share. 700 quid.
I'm on dole, in case you hadn't noticed.
Then get a job. I'll give you a job.
A £2.50 an hour in Blackall of fucking Calcutta? No, thank you.
Fine, whatever. If you want to go off and play your games, Gary, then you can do that. But from now on, Nathan's going to have two parents.
Oh, yeah, and your bloody living lover's going to do that, is he?
Oh, abracadabra, here he is. Evening, Barry.
That'll be for court to decide.
No, it won't. Nathan's yours and he's mine and he's fuck all to do with him.
See if you've ever given a toss.
Face it, Gary. He don't even like staying at yours. Of
course he bloody does. Ask him. Ask him. Oh, Nath! We have a laugh, don't we, kid?
Hey, don't.
Is he in? Is he in? Nath!
Gaz's lips quiver.
Well, they can't hear you through your triple bloody glazing.
You can hear, all right.
This is all wrong, this is. It's all to fucking cock. I'm his dad, and you're nobody.
Good night, Gary.
Barry smiles as he pulls his girlfriend inside and closes the door on Gaz. With flickering brown eyes, Gaz heaves a deep breath, then looks up at a second-floor window.
Night, Nate. See you, kid.
He turns away and wanders off. Another day. Under a cloudy sky, Gaz and Dave jog on a back road.
No, not doing it. I'm not stripping.
Dave, they're taking him away. All I need is 700 quid and they're getting out on me.
Gaz, no.
Dave, he's me kid. Suppose he's nicking cars.
No.
Well, then.
Look, I'll help, all right? I'm running out of, but I'm taking now off, final.
Come on, Dave, don't stop now.
Keep up, you fat bastard. Gazza, you tosser.
Dave slows to a walk while Gaz runs ahead. At the side of the road, a stopped car has its hood open. Dave walks up to the driver's side.
You need a hand?
The red-haired security guard sits behind the wheel. Dave looks at the engine, then dries a spark plug wire on his sweatshirt.
Yeah, it's your HT leads, I reckon.
Dave replaces the wire.
You go at that.
The guard watches exhaust stream inside from a hose. Dave closes the hood.
Didn't you used to work up at Harrison's before it shut down?
Yeah, I thought I clocked you. Hour on floor with Gaz, Luck Road. How's it going then? You got any work?
The guard stares down at his lap.
No, there's not a lot about, is there? Yeah, well, like I say, get some new ones when you get the chance, all right? No, my chuffing pleasure.
After Dave jogs off, the guard rolls up his window, trapping the fumes inside. Up ahead, Gaz offers Dave a cigarette. Dave gapes, then dashes back to the guard's car.
Dave?
The hose leads from the exhaust pipe into the passenger's window. As Dave whips open the door, the fumes billow out. He pulls the guard into the street and they both catch their breath.
Are you all right, kid?
You bastard.
Dave shoves the guard back into the exhaust-filled car and slams the door. The guard bangs on the window. Later, on a hill overlooking a hazy city, the red-haired guard stares out, somber and distant. Beside him, Dave lies in the grass while Gaz sits smoking a cigarette.
He could shoot, you said. Where's he gonna find a gun from round here? You wanna find yourself a big bridge, you do?
Yeah, like one of them bungee jumps, only without the bungee bit.
I can't stand out, it's me.
The guard's breath mists in the chilly air. Dave takes a long, steady drag on his cigarette.
Drowning? Now there's a way to go.
I can't swim.
You don't have to fucking swim, you divvy. That's the whole point. God, you're not very keen, are you?
Sorry.
I know. You could stand in Middle of the Road and get a mate to drive smack into you right fast.
I haven't got any mates.
Listen, you, we just saved you a fucking life, so don't tell us we're not your mates, all right?
The guard brightens.
Yeah? Yeah, me and all. I'd run you down soon as look at you.
Oh, cheers. Ta.
Gaz chuckles, and the guard's smile broadens.
Thanks a lot.
He beams. Later, in a dimly lit house, a wheelchair sits at the bottom of a steep staircase. A gray-haired woman clutches the railing as she slowly climbs up. The guard comes in.
What are you doing, Mom?
Where have you been?
Driving.
He carries her up.
Driving where?
Just driving.
I thought you'd gone.
Later, at the factory.
Security guard in here. No wonder he wants to kill himself.
Well, at least one bloke got a job out of this place being shut down. What'd you tell him for, any row? Kid's a nutter.
He's a bugle player. I'm coming right handy, might need a bit of music. He's got a car. Somewhere to practice. Besides, good, what's his name for the lad? Therapy.
Oh, aye, jiggling about in the buff, therapy. I tell you. He won't be the only one trying to kill himself if you carry on with this caper.
Dad, I'm hungry.
On a security monitor, they watch the guard's car pull up. Later, they get takeout boxes off of the engine.
Hey, Lomper! Where's my rice?
Try the cylinder head, Tubby.
I don't like Chinese.
Of course you do. Don't you?
Let's see his records.
What we got then, Dave?
The floral dance. Marching with Hepworth.
Jesus Christ.
Ah, hot chocolate. Now we're talking. I believe in miracles. You came along. You sexifying.
Stick it on, Dave, or you're on there.
In the security booth with a microphone, Dave puts the record on. Lumper sits beside Nathan as Gaz turns on the headlights, then stands in front of the car. He strikes a pose with one arm arced over his head.
Dad, don't.
Look, it's all right, Nathan. It's as right as this. Seen him do it.
Good evening, Chappells. Tonight's special offer.
Dave.
All right. You sexy thing. A one, two, one, two, three, four.
Gaz bobs a knee and gently drums the air, a cigarette propped in his mouth. Swaying in a slow, groovy shimmy, he takes off his leather jacket and twirls it overhead. Change flies out. Lomper and Nathan duck.
I believe in miracles. Where you from? You sexy thing, you.
Gaz rocks side to side as he unbuttons his flannel shirt, then throws it in the air.
You sexy thing.
Nathan reluctantly watches his dad dancing in a t-shirt and black jeans. As Gaz swings his hips and drags on his smoke, he pulls his t-shirt over his head. Nathan walks off. Gaz spits out his cigarette.
Need an audience.
You need a doctor.
Later, in Lomper's car, the guys cruise the dark streets.
I tell you, there's something up with that kid.
Lomper drives while Dave and Gaz look out the windows.
You sure you checked the whole top end?
Yeah.
There's no point. It went out.
What?
I've seen him go.
There's the beggar.
They see Nathan walking down a sidewalk.
Oh, Nathan!
Lomper stops the car and Gaz gets out.
Hellfire! What are you doing out here, kid?
No, walking home.
It's miles home, you know that. Why did you run off like that?
Nathan glances away, then looks up at his dad.
You're embarrassed, aren't you? You think your own dad's a dickhead. We're not doing this for a laugh, you know. I'm trying to get some brass together so as you and me can keep seeing each other. They're trying to stop us, you see.
Nathan walks away.
Oh, well, they may as well not bother. Except I'm your dad.
Nathan stops.
That counts for something, don't it?
Gaz glances around and shifts his weight, then settles his gaze on his son.
I like you. I love you, you bugger. All right, kid.
They exchange a few chummy shoulder slaps. With quivering lips, Gaz pulls his son into a hug.
All right.
Yeah.
Water.
Holding each other close, they walk back to the car. Later, in a community center, through a playroom window, they watch older couples in a ballroom dance class.
Well, you said dancing.
Oh, we're a great idea, kid. Just not the right sort of dancing.
Gaz, hey, look here.
Gerald dances with his wife.
God.
Gerald, me lad, you're going to be famous down job club.
He's not bad for a bastard, though, is he?
He's dead, that's what he is.
They make clownish faces and wave, surprising Gerald. Gerald glares and mouths the words, buzz off.
Hey, you said you wanted a dance teacher.
Gerald? Go get chuffed. You tell every bugger we'd be left out of Sheffield.
They duck out of the window.
Hey, up, lads, bandits at 6 o'clock.
Gerald finds Gaz and the others in the playroom.
Ah, come in, Torval. Park your sequence over here. All right, you've had your little laugh, now you can piss off.
It's a free country.
I thought you were rather good, actually. Very nifty footwork.
Gerald!
His wife comes in.
Oh. Gerald, we're missing the rumba.
Sorry, love, I was just having a bit of a chat with some pals of mine from work.
Oh. Not thinking of joining our class.
Well, funny you should mention. I think we better be getting back now, eh?
Well, good night.
You get back to your rumba. We'll see you later, Gerald.
Gaz smirks.
At work.
Gerald's brown eyes smolder as he returns to class. Lomper glances over at Dave, who struggles to get a plastic ring off his wrist. Later, in the suburbs, Dave and Gaz wait in the driveway of a two-story house, which has tidy gardens adorned with colorful porcelain figurines.
I bloody would have.
Inside, Gerald straightens his tie while his wife packs a lunch.
Things looking up.
Do you know, love, I think they just might be.
Good. You've been working too hard. About time you let one of your colleagues do the lion's share for a change.
I wish you'd be firmer, Gerald.
Oh, well, mustn't be late.
So it's all right if I,
Oh, Linda, love you.
She holds a ski brochure.
Things are looking up. You said so yourself. You'll love skiing.
Gerald takes a deep breath.
Linda.
His faltering lips spread in a weak grin.
Doesn't matter. Bye.
He kisses Linda and heads outside where Dave holds up a gnome figurine.
Hey, Cassie.
Dave smirks like the gnome, then picks its nose. Gaz nods to him as Gerald comes down the drive.
Off to the office, Harvey Torval.
As a matter of fact, yes, I bloody am. Put that back. Put it back!
Dave puts down the gnome.
Say that. Interview. In the bloody bag. May. I know him from Addison's. And I can do the job standing on me head. And I won't have to look at your ugly mugs ever again.
Oh, come on, Gerald. We just need a bit of help.
Oh, I'm sorry, pal. There's nothing I can do to help the likes of you. Nothing.
Just want to know about dancing, that's all.
Dancers have coordination, skill, timing, fitness and grace. Take a long, hard look in the mirror. Now I'm busy.
He walks ahead.
Don't be late for job club, lads.
They glare at him.
Bastard.
Gaz cracks a sly grin. Later at Gerald's interview.
Starting at 16,000 plus the pension scheme.
It'll be a relief to get back to work. It's not been an easy 6 months, granted. I'm up to date with the latest industry developments, and I've kept myself...
His garden gnome pops up outside the window.
I'm busy, you know.
Well, all the qualifications are there, obviously, Gerald. And we go back further than I care to remember.
Gerald gawks.
Sorry?
The interviewer turns around to look out the window, and the gnome disappears.
What we're asking, Gerald, is, after such a long layoff, do you think you're up to the job?
Two gnomes appear. One smashes the other. Later, Gerald storms into the job club.
You!
He hurls his briefcase at Gaz, then chases him around a table. Dave steps between them.
He didn't get it, then.
Gerald shoves Dave aside and grabs Gaz by the jacket.
I will mind that job! You don't give a toss, your kids. It's different for me. I've got standing living responsibilities. I'm on my way up. I am on my way up!
He rubs his flushed face.
We're in my first interview in months. I could have got my first month in advance. You'd never have known. Now what? She's still got credit cards, you know. She's out there now. Let loose on I Street with a fucking MasterCard. Spending!
Why can't you just tell her?
How can I tell her after 6 months? A woman who wants to go skiing for his holidays. Skiing, for fuck's sake.
He glares at Gaz.
Why did you do it? It was my job. It had to be my job.
Gerald feebly shakes his head and walks off. Gaz heaves a few uneven breaths as he watches him go, then exchanges a sullen gaze with Dave. Later, on a grassy hilltop, Gerald sits on a bench and tears up a letter. Behind him, row houses stretch into the distance. He rips the paper into tiny pieces and tosses them into the air. Meanwhile, Gaz carries a miniature brass cart as he walks uphill with Nathan, Dave, and Lomper. They gingerly approach Gerald, who eats his packed lunch.
Can't you just leave me alone?
Gaz takes a deep breath, then looks at Dave and cocks his head toward Gerald. From a bag, Dave removes the smashed gnome figurine, now glued back together. Gerald takes it.
Stuck it with super glue. Can't hardly see it joining, look.
As Gerald somberly studies the gnome, Nathan nudges his dad.
Go on.
Oh, I got this in jumble, like, to say sorry.
Gaz gives him the small brass cart.
Wheels go around and everything.
It's for your gnomes, really, not you, but... I don't know, It's marvellous, this.
He shakes back tears.
We were thinking you could maybe put it next to Wishing Well. Make a bit of a...
feature.
Yeah. What do you like?
Gerald stares down and nods.
That's all I'd say. It's
Not very much.
Gaz shifts his weight, then glances at Dave.
Cigarette me, for fuck's sake.
Later, they walk by five teenage boys on a playground.
Think any of them could dance?
You're not still on about this Chippendales malarkey, are you?
A Yorkshire version. Them buggers can, we bloody can.
You can't dance.
We know, Gerald.
Little Gaz, nine are on its way.
Why do you think we're trailing you all over town?
It's not my kind of dancing, is it? It's all arse-wiggling and that.
Well, I've got a degree in arse-wiggling, mate. You learn us dancing, I'll learn you rest. But, Gerald, for once, I'm dead serious. I need your help.
What if someone spots me? What if Linda finds out? I've got standing, me.
Oh, you've an overdraft and all, mate.
Later, at the abandoned factory, a middle-aged man with thinning hair and a pasty complexion stands in the warehouse, fidgeting. He blushes as he fiddles with the zipper on his heavy coat. Across the room, Gaz and his friends watch soberly. Gerald offers a comforting smile as the blushing man starts to strip, taking off his coat first. Gently bouncing his knees, he throws down his coat, then untucks his striped rugby shirt. As he pulls it awkwardly over his head, his lips press into a tight-lipped frown. His eyes flicker across Dave and Nathan, who watch attentively. Bare-chested and tense, the stripping man tosses down his shirt, then fumbles with the button on his pants. Gaz sits forward and glances at Nathan, who stops the tape. The man shakes his head.
I'm sorry. I thought I'd give it a go. I got a bit desperate, like you know it is. But I can't even take my kits off properly, can I?
He gets dressed.
You're all right, Reg. Just a cup of tea, if you like.
No, thanks. I've got the kids outside.
Bring him in.
Nah.
He glances at Nathan.
This is no place for kids.
Gaz draws a deep breath and sinks into a chair as Reg walks out. Gerald rolls his eyes.
This is crazy.
Next, a silver-bearded black man auditions.
So, it's Mr. Horse.
Horse.
Yeah, well, just a minute, Mr. Horse. My colleagues in the panel.
Ask him why he's called the horse.
You bloody ask him. It's not because he does Grand National, is
Wait,
it?
Yeah, that's all very well, but what's the point of having a big wanger if you need a Zimmer frame to tout it in, eh? I mean, he must be 50 if he's a day.
So, Horse, what can you do?
Don't know, really. Let's see, there's the, it's the bump, the stomp, the bus stop. My breakdancing days are probably over, but there's always the funky chicken.
Now you're talking.
All of them?
Well, yeah, I think so. Well, it's been a while, mind. And I've got this dodgy hip, you know.
Yeah. Well, stick it on, Nathan. Do your worst, pal.
One, two, three.
Horse strikes a surfer pose, then shakes his shoulders and hips. After a few funky spins, he bobs up and down like he's on a galloping horse. Mouthing the words, Horse hammers his fists together. Gaz and Gerald exchange a smile as Horse snaps his fingers side to side, then turns, twirling his hands. Leaping high, he scissors his legs and lands in a strained half-split. Punched over, he acknowledges their applause. Later, a strapping young man auditions.
My favorite film's Singing in Rain. They do that walking at wall thing. Bloody
Gerald ears. Hides behind a paper.
He plastered our bathroom a few months back. Get rid of him.
Shut up, you'll be fine.
He'll blow me cover.
Shut up. What walking up wall thing?
Show you. I'm Donald O'Connor, right?
Wearing a t-shirt and jeans, he takes off his jacket.
That's the wall.
He takes a few steps back, then runs toward a brick wall. Gaz and the others cringe. Laid out flat on his back, the young man slowly gets up.
Oh, well, better than that in film, like, you know.
So, you don't sing?
No.
You don't dance?
No.
Hope you don't think I'm being nosy, but, what do you do?
Well,
There is this.
He undoes his belt and pulls down his pants. Gaz puffs out smoke. Horse covers his eyes and Lomper stares.
Gentlemen, the lunchbox has landed.
Gerald peeks over his newspaper. His shocked gaze tightens on the half-naked man.
You're phenomenal.
All right, Gerald. Can see over there. Did his bathroom.
He gives Gerald a thumbs up.
Well, guy.
Nath.
The boy gapes.
Nathan.
Gaz motions for Guy to pull up his pants. Later at Dave's house.
I say, Jean.
Yeah?
Ever been out with a black belt, like?
You know I haven't, Dave.
But if you were on lookout for a new fella, right? If you were, just saying. What do you think about it?
What's got into you?
No, would you, though?
I might do, yeah. Is that all right?
So it's true, then?
I've bloody had enough of this. What's true?
What they say about black moons. They've got great bodies and that.
Some of them, yeah.
He gets in bed with her.
And?
Dave avoids her gaze.
Nothing.
David, I don't care if they're black, white, or bloody rainbow coloured. I'm married to you. Remember?
Yeah.
Jean fondly studies his clean-shaven face. Dave turns his back.
Night.
Nestling close, Jean strokes his bare chest.
Why would I want anyone else, eh? Big man.
She traces kisses across his broad shoulder. Dave gently squeezes her hand.
Jeannie, I'm all in.
She stops.
It's amazing how tiring it is doing now, you know.
Dave turns off the light. Jean moves her arm from around his chest, then lies back and stares at the ceiling. Morning. In the supermarket where she works, Jean giggles as a salesman juggles three hairbrushes. Dave glares at his wife from another aisle. Gaz walks over.
You're just messing, Dave.
You reckon?
Of course. Just Jean, innit?
Nathan comes over with a bag of candy.
You got any of them mint chocolate jobs, Nathan?
Get lost, you're on a diet.
Don't you start, no.
Right, what you got then?
Gaz picks up a video and Dave counts change.
22, 27 pence. $4.99 special offer. I'm still a fucking fiver short. Well, you know what this means, Dave?
Oh, no. Come on, Gaz. Why me?
Because you've got an innocent face, love. I've got serial killer written in my forehead. And if you're not going to dance, you can do something bloody well useful instead.
Hey, but what if Jean finds out? She'll throw an epi. She's only over there.
She's miles away. See you later. Good luck.
Give us a pair, drop you.
Not paid for.
Nathan turns away with his bag of candy. Gaz shrugs, then puts his arm around his son and walks off. Left alone, Dave glances around, then slips a video under his coat as he takes another from the rack and casually looks it over. He puts the second video back, then strolls over to a candy display and pops a piece in his mouth. Dave spits out the candy and steps on it. Furrowing his brow, he looks back at the display, then walks off. As he nears the exit, he glances over both shoulders. The electric doors slide open for him. Dave dashes into the parking lot. Later, he and the others watch the video. On screen, a welder takes off her mask and shakes out her wavy brown hair.
Hey, what's this?
I didn't go on the Nick in Asda for some chuffing women's how-to video.
It's Flashdance, Dave. She's a welder, isn't she?
A welder? Well, I hope she dances better than she welds. I mean, look at that, a mixes all to cock.
Oh, shut up, Dave. What the fuck do you know about welding, anyway?
More than some chuffing woman. Nah, it's like bonfire night. That's too much acetylene, is that? Them joints won't hold fuck all.
Oh, for Christ's sake, Dave. We're looking for dancing, aren't we?
Got the hump about Asda.
Hey. Cop a load of that.
Now, wearing a leotard in a dance studio, the welder leaps into the air and lands in a somersault.
That gentleman is what we are looking for.
Oh, aye. I can just see him doing all that twizzling about bollocks.
Nice. Suit-up tango, is that? Takes any bugger in a week, even you, mate.
Oh, even a fat bastard like me. Yeah, I know what I am, so don't take the piss, you.
All right. 2 weeks. Straight up.
Dave frowns at Gaz, and Gerald presses his lips in a smile. At dusk, Dave and Gaz walk outside.
I don't know, Gaz. Jean reckons I should take that security guard job down at Asda.
Jesus, security. You're worth more than that, Dave.
She doesn't think so. I reckon there's something going on with her and that bloke, you know.
The juggling bugger? No, no way.
As if I blame her.
Well, you could show her, Dave. Nobody tells them Chippendales to go be security, do they? Raking it in there, huh? 2 weeks. And that's what the man said, and he's not taking the piss.
That's a thought.
It's more than a thought. You think of Jean's face when she sees you dancing like old fucking flash dance, eh?
2 weeks. Just like flashy tits.
That's what your man said.
Hey, I can weld better than her and all.
Later in the factory.
Stop!
Gerald repositions Lomper and Gaz.
You stay still. And you go forward, okay?
Okay.
All right, Nathan.
Nathan starts the tape. Gaz and Lomper misstep.
No. Jesus Christ. All I want to do is get you in a straight bloody line. What do I have to do?
Well, it's the Arsenal offside trap, isn't it?
You what?
The Arsenal offside trap. Lomper here is Tony Adams, right? Any bugger looks like scoring. We all step forward in a line and wave our arms around like a fairy.
Oh, well, that's easy.
Okay. Nathan.
The guys step into line and raise their right arms. Gerald studies them.
Perfect. Well, you should have said.
Later, they follow Gerald up to his house and wait as he unlocks the front door.
Come on, get in quick and wipe your boots.
Inside, Dave looks at a ballerina figurine.
Hey, put that back, you'll break it. I'm just looking. Bit posh, isn't it?
Right then. Are we right?
Right for what?
Taking his kit off.
Thought you were turning me into a fancy dancer.
Listen, ladies, we are strippers, aren't we?
What, here, now? In this house?
Gaz nods.
This is a good area, this is.
Gaz, I don't know. If we can't get his kit off in front of ourselves, what chance have we got in front of all them lasses? Tops off.
Gaz, wearing a grey T-shirt, throws down his flannel shirt and eyes the others.
Come on.
Dave reluctantly takes off his jacket.
Well, no looking and no laughing, you bastards.
He untucks his T-shirt. The others disrobe, too. As Gerald unbuttons his sweater vest, he looks over at the bare-chested Gaz.
I used to have a proper job, mate.
Lomper pulls off his sweater.
I ask you, what are we doing? What are we doing?
Guy unveils his lean, muscular chest. Nearby, Dave rests his folded arms on his round, hairy stomach as Gaz takes off his shoes.
And the kegs.
Dave sighs, then joins the others taking off their pants. Guy sports a skimpy bikini, while Dave and Gaz wear boxer briefs. Lomper adjusts the elastic on his sky blue briefs. As Horse hikes up his long underwear, Gaz eyes his crotch.
Horse by name, horse by nature, eh, Horse?
Oh, shut it, you.
Hey, how come you're so brown, any road?
No reason.
Someone's got some bed, ain't they, Gerald?
It's Linda's, and know your bloody can't.
Dave pats his belly.
What am I gonna do about this?
Well, it's not too bad. From the front, like?
Fat David is a feminist issue.
What's that supposed to mean when it's at home?
I don't bloody know, do I? But it is.
I try dieting. I do try. Seems I spent most of my fucking life on a diet. The less I eat, the fatter I get.
So stuff yourself and get thin.
Oh, shut up, saggy tits.
Lomper feels his soft pecs.
This mate Linda's had this plastic stuff put on her at this posh elf club.
She lost pounds. It were like magic.
Oh, what's it called now? Anyway, it's like cling film.
I've heard of that.
Cling film? I'm not a chicken drumstick, Gerald.